proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. Today we will begin a new series, The Messiah in the Psalms. And the first entry in this series is Psalm 2, where Messiah is called the Son of God. Psalm 2 portrays a scene in which the kings of the earth set themselves in rebellion against the Lord and against His anointed. Anytime someone received an anointing, that circumstance indicated that God selected that individual to engage in some form of divine ministry. In the Old Testament, only three categories of people received an anointing from God: prophets, priests, and kings. In 1 Kings chapter 19, God commanded Elijah to anoint Elisha as his prophetic successor. God ordered Moses to anoint Aaron as high priest, and his sons as priests, as recorded in Exodus chapter 28. According to 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel anointed David to replace Saul as the king of Israel. Some commentators have interpreted the phrase "his anointed" to be an oblique reference to the Messiah. Hebrew supports this interpretation. The term Messiah derived from the Hebrew verb mashach, meaning to anoint. By referring to the Messiah as one who was anointed, the writer of Psalm 2 marked out that individual as being especially appointed by God to receive a particular inheritance. The 8th verse of Psalm 2 referred to the nature of that bequest. God would grant His anointed one, quote, "the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession," unquote. In other words, the Messiah would receive the ownership of the entire earth, comprising of Gentiles as well as Jews. Jesus Christ did not exercise such a degree of dominion during His first coming. As He informed Pontius Pilate in the 18th chapter of John, quote, "Now is my kingdom not from hence," unquote. Yet a day will arrive, according to Revelation chapter 11, when, quote, "the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ," unquote. In the middle of Psalm 2, the author penned these words, quote, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee," unquote. Two figures appeared in this verse. One of them was the speaker, who declared that God proclaimed him to be His, God's Son. The statement which God made in Psalm 2 followed a formulaic pattern. A monarch, when speaking to his people, would use similar words to formally proclaim his heir. Such a declaration would remove all doubt about which individual a king wanted to succeed him. God the Father made several such proclamations relative to Jesus Christ. When the Savior became baptized by John the Baptist, God publicly announced, quote, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father uttered similar words about His Son at the Mount of Transfiguration, when He said, quote, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him," unquote. The writer of Psalm 2 advised his readers, quote, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little," unquote. Performing such a subservient action indicated that the person doing so yielded to the dominion of that ruler. Jesus Christ will receive this submission. According to Philippians chapter 2, the time will come when every knee shall bow to Him, and every tongue will confess Him as Lord. Psalm 2 foreshadowed the coming of such a day. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.